Welcome to the Realities of Life in Real Estate with Megan Zuccaro, your insider pass for one-on-one access to this award-winning real estate icon, former Mrs. Texas, ABC News anchor, and mother of three. Get ready for the real, unfiltered truth on real estate, finance, and life in the glamorous Beverly Hills media scene, and get Megan's no-holds-barred views on what it really takes to be successful in real estate and life.
Welcome back. We are here with Megan Zuccaro, and on today's show, we're going to be discussing loans and lending. So, Megan, welcome, and let me turn this over to you.
Good morning. How are you, Tim?
Thank you so much for always being with me.
Thank you. You having a good weekend so far?
Yeah, it's gone pretty well. Gone pretty well. Up here, it's getting colder again, you know, that time of year, but hopefully things will warm up. So,
well, I'm in beautiful Beverly Hills, warm weather, which is spectacular, so it's pretty nice. But I know, you know, I'm from Minnesota, so I know the cold weather extremely well.
Yeah, so let's start out with the loans and lending. That was a topic you wanted to cover. This is something that you do, and you have experience in real estate investment finance as well as being a real estate agent. And so this is an area that you have a ton of experience with. So what are some points to kind of start us out with?
Well, you know, here's the thing about I had a mortgage company in Texas, and the mortgage, the money end of it is really important to understand when you're dealing with real estate, because it's all correlated. And usually things go bad because of the money in the financing. And so, you know, I was really fortunate to be able to have a crash course and learn the mortgage business and do the mortgage business. And it's just important to understand it. And I think that the biggest thing is people, just like anything in life, people are afraid to even try because they think they can't. And so, you know, I'm a big advocate of, I think everybody should be able to own a home, and I think everybody should be able to buy a house. And so just speaking about finances, it starts with credit, right? It starts with credit. So if you go into the normal bank, it starts with credit. And but a lot of people don't realize, you know, you can buy it, do an FHA loan and put 3.5% down, and you can have a credit score of anywhere from 580 or above, and literally buy a house, depending on your state you're in. Every state has different FHA limits, but put only 3.5% down. And it gets you into the house. It gets you the equity. It gets you the opportunity to move forward. And then that's the biggest thing, because everybody thinks that they have to put 10, 20, 30% down, and it's just not true. As long as you're within the FHA guidelines, you only put 3.5% down. And everybody has a tendency to think that you have to have 20% down or more down, and it's just not true. With an FHA loan, depending on the state that you're in, you can, as long as you're within that FHA guidelines, buy a house for 3.5% down, which is an amazing opportunity for people. And usually, again, depending on the lender, with a 580 credit score or a 620 credit score. And so, you know, what I always tell people is, if you want to buy a house, instead of worrying about your credit, instead of worrying about if you can, the best thing is to work with a lender and have them pull your credit and figure out what you need to do in order to buy the house that you want to buy. And FHA is one of my favorite things. The second thing about lending, and my second favorite loan, is the VA loan, which, you know, all of our military personnel can qualify for a VA loan and put 0% down. So literally, you can buy a home, as long as you qualify as a veteran or a military personnel, which is spectacular. You can buy a home with 0% down, which is absolutely, again, an incredible opportunity, because the biggest thing that holds people back is the down payment. And so those opportunities are significant. And, you know, it's the best advice I can give people is they need to work with a lender, have their credit pulled, figure out where they're at, and figure out what they need to do. Because the worst that's going to happen is they're going to say, oh, you might have to fix something, but then you're going to know exactly what you have to fix so you can move forward. Because, again, like I always say, you know, homeownership is really important. It's the biggest asset Americans have, is their home. And the sooner you are able to purchase a home, the better off that you are. And so many people rent and rent and rent, and they're just afraid that they can't get a mortgage. And I've helped so many people who have said to me, there's no way I can get a mortgage, and they own a house, you know, in 6 months. And so, you know, it's kind of like run towards the roar. Don't be afraid of anything negative, but you got to figure out a way to get your credit pulled, to work with a lender in your state, and make sure that you know what you need to do in order to get a house, because it's just the way it is. So those, and then there's your typical conventional loans, which your typical conventional loans are, you know, through your bank, which you're going to put anywhere from they have actually some conventional loans where you only put 5% down. And again, it's just a matter of taking that call your banker or call your lender in your state and have them help you. Now, in the event you have crazy credit like I've had to go through in the past, you know, there's always creative financing. There's people that will do owner finance. And an owner finance is when somebody will literally have their home and they're willing to be the bank for you. And it's all a negotiation. You can, you know, literally put 10% down, 5% down, whatever the seller feels comfortable with. But it gives you, again, the opportunity to have that home in your name. And then 12 months down the road, 24 months down the road, you can do it as a refinance and be able to get rid of the owner finance. And then my other one that I love is a lease with the option to buy, where you lease the property and then you have the option to purchase it in the future for a certain approved, agreed upon price with the seller. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, from a lending perspective, there's so many different ways to do it that if you want a house, you can find a house. It's just a matter of having the knowledge and knowing how to do it. Most people just think they have to have 20% down and go through a normal bank, and it's just not the case. There's a lot of great ways that you can do things in order to get yourself a house.
Okay, so let me back up a sec. Now, let's kind of reapproach this from a different angle. Who would you say the perfect loan candidate would be? Who's the person that you want to reach out and ask you, you know, to help them get a loan for a house?
Who would the perfect loan candidate be?
Yeah. I mean, because you've mentioned FHA, you've mentioned VA, and then you've mentioned a couple of creative financing solutions, right? So it sounds like this really would apply to anybody. But is there kind of a perfect person where, you know, this person walks in the door and maybe they don't feel like they can get any kind of help at all, and you're like, okay, this is the person that I want to help. Is there anybody like that?
Okay, well, so let's face it. The easiest loans to help people with are people that have 20% down and 700 credit score or above. I mean, that's easy, slam dunk with a W-2 income. That's the easiest loans. But what I'm a big advocate of is finding out what you need to do and how you can do it. And you have to, you know, talk to your lender, talk to your banker. But one of the biggest things, as I always say, is the banker says to you, you know, you can't get a loan right now because of XYZ, whatever the reason may be. That doesn't mean you have to give up, because there's a lot of different options and a lot of different resources out there. And so the perfect candidate, is that what you wanted me to, is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask one other thing though. So the credit, you've mentioned credit a few times, but something that you've discussed with me in the past was, you're able to offer some kind of collateralized loans where credit doesn't really matter, right? And that, I thought that was really interesting, because, you know, so many people are still recovering from the crash, right? Where, you know, maybe they've paid off this or that, maybe they've made some progress, but their credit is still tanked. So that, to me, that was interesting, because it sounds like there are some options there. Now, I guess collateral is part of that. So the house, then the property becomes collateral, right? Could you explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. So that's basically private money, hard money, people who have money sitting in their bank account. And instead of having their money sit in the bank account and get 2%, they lend their money on property. And it's all asset-based, meaning usually they're going to lend anywhere from 65 to 75% of the value, and they'll have first trust deed, meaning just like the bank, they're going to be on the first trust deed. And in the event that you, you know, like I always say, you don't pay, you can't stay. In the event that you don't pay, you can't stay, they're protected, because their loan to value is enough so that in the event that they had to foreclose or something happened, they would be able to sell the property and still get their money back. And there's a lot of people all over the country that do that and are able. Now, the difference is you're going to pay anywhere from 8% to 13% in interest. But it's, again, going to get you into the property. And so you can fix your credit, you can fix the things that you need to do, and then you can do a refinance. Because after you've been on a deed, which is the house deed, once you've been on that deed for 6 months, the bank will do it as a refinance. Well, a refinance is a lot easier because there's no down payment. All they're doing is using the collateral and redoing the loan, essentially. And so that's
okay.
A great opportunity. Yeah, it's a great opportunity for people to be able to do that.
Okay, so that and so that's why real estate investors love that. Then you're paying a higher amount of interest, but then a lot of investors aren't going to hang on to it that long, so they don't really have to deal with it. And then a lot of other folks are looking at that as something where, as their credit improves, as their financial situation improves, they're able to kind of get out from under that too. So you've mentioned a few options then. So you've got VA, and you've got FHA. You know, you have, again, some of the creative financing, and then you've got the hard money lending, right? I believe that's what you were calling
it. Yes, absolutely. And the thing is, you know, lending it, and I hate to say it and do a blanket statement, but the bottom line is that if you want to buy a house, you got to get your credit pulled, go to a banker, and find out what you got to do. If the banker says to you, hey, I can't give you a loan right now, well, then you go backwards and you figure out, what do I got to do to get a loan? And then once you do that, you can determine, hey, do I want to find a property that I own or finance? Do I want to find a property that's a lease with the option to buy? Do I want to find a property where I use private money? You know, there's a lot of different options to do it. And it's a matter of taking that first initial step to determine what it is that you have to do to get to where you want to be. Because, again, I'm a firm believer in home ownership. You know, people need to own a home because it, no matter where you're living in the country, across the board, it's usually going up anywhere from 7 to 10%, the property values and the equity. And so it's just, you know, like the stock market in the sense that even if it goes up and down, as long as you're in there and paying it down, you know, eventually you're going to have that asset paid for. And so when you retire, you no longer have to have a mortgage payment. And so the sooner you start that process, the better you are, better off you are, because, you know, people's biggest payment is rent or a house. So if you're paying rent, you might as well be able to pay it for yourself, you know, pay yourself forward. And so my best advice I can give anybody across the board is, if you want to buy a house, you got to try. You got to call somebody, you got to get talk to a lender and figure out where you're at. And if the normal banks tell you no, then you have these other options.
Yeah, yeah. And then we should remind people that they can reach out to you directly for help with this, right? That's something where,
absolutely,
you know, if they go to the website, meganzucaro.com, they can reach out to you directly and you can assist them. I mean, you are a licensed real estate agent, so you've got the experience, the knowledge, the connections here.
Absolutely. If people call me, I can tell them really quickly the situation and what I would recommend for them to do. And they can call me anytime. Like I always say, you know, it's no problem at all to call me at 424-332-2003, because I've done every type of financing, FHA, VA, creative financing, owner financing, lease with the option. I've done every single way. And so I always say, if you want a house, I'm the girl that will be able to get you a way to get a house, because it's just about being able to have the different solutions and knowing what your options are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, so what kind of, I guess all I wrote down in my notes here is how much, right? And so what I'm wondering is, what should people be looking at in terms of ballpark for these different types of loans? Or does it matter? I mean, I know there are limits on any loan, right? But what range should people be looking at with these different types of loans?
So the FHA loans, they range. Every single state is different. And if you Google FHA loan limits, if you just Google FHA loan limits, it's going to tell you exactly what every state will allow. And it goes anywhere from $250,000 to $750,000. You know what I mean? And so it just depends on what state you're in. But the best advice I can do and tell you is to Google FHA limits. And when you Google that, you're able to find out exactly what is the max that you can do with a 3.5% down. It's the same way with VA. VA has different limits for different states. And so if you just Google VA limits for homes, it's going to tell you exactly whatever state that you're in, what is the max that you can purchase for 0% down. And then also with conventional, it's totally different. Usually the conventionals go up to $1 million, and there's some banks that will allow you to do, you know, 5, 10, 15% down for a lower amount if you don't qualify for FHA. I think the biggest thing with FHA is people think that there's income limits. And there's not income limits for FHA. It's just a matter of the price of the house. And so that's the biggest thing. I think people are under the assumption that if they get an FHA loan, they have to make a certain amount of money, and that's not true, or a certain lower income. It's not true at all. It's just a matter of what the value of the house is per your state. And so, you know, I'm a big advocate of an FHA loan. You do pay PMI, which is, you know, mortgage insurance. But once you get your mortgage down to 80%, you can remove that and reduce it. And so, again, the best thing that you can ever do, I keep saying it over and over again, but the best thing you can ever do is call a banker and have them sit down with you and talk to them about, you know, FHA, the different options that you have that are out there. And so you can make that decision for yourself of what's best for you. But
in the event
that the banker says, hey, you know what, Megan, your credit's horrible, I can't get you a loan, then you go back to owner finance, lease with the option to buy, private money, and those are the other solutions that you can do. And again, depending on what state you're in, because, I mean, we're talking to everybody, depending on what state you're in, you can totally change it in the sense that you can Google hard money in your state. You can Google owner financing. There's tons of owner finance websites out there. There's tons of lease option to buy websites out there. And it's just a matter of finding that location. Now, one of the things with owner finance, lease option, you know, you can't be extremely always picky. You can't say, hey, I want a house with stainless steel. You know what I mean? You have to be more flexible. But again, if it gives you the option to get into a home and build that equity, it's worthwhile because you can always upgrade in a couple of years and sell it and buy something else. And so it's just a matter of being a little bit more flexible. If you got perfect credit and you got the money down, you can go buy anything you want. But if you have a couple of hiccups from just life in general, like a lot, 80% of the world has, you know, you have to just be more flexible with the situation.
Yeah, well, and again, those hiccups that you're talking about, those take us from the banks back to the private lenders, right? So I think what you're saying is you really want to start by sitting down with the bank and seeing what the options are there, or sitting down with somebody like yourself and seeing, you know, okay, here's what the traditional options are. But there is the private lender route. And again, that's what makes that exciting to me, is that's something that I think makes loans that have been completely off limits to a lot of people, that makes them available again, right? And so folks who have been in the past, they've been turned down because their credit isn't there or something like that, then they can work with the private lender and they have a different set of rules, right? Is that something you could describe a little bit, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's why I say that, you know, it's just the blanket statement across the board is you got to sit down with someone who knows what they're doing as a lending perspective, and then you go backwards depending on what the results are. Because there's a lot of people out there that literally have great credit and they don't think they have good credit. And so you have to know what your credit score is. And then the other really big thing is self-employed versus W-2 employee. Because when you're self-employed, it's a whole different animal because they're using tax returns, they're using net income. And what happens with the self-employed, that's kind of where it gets a little hairy scary, because most people on their tax returns, you know, when they're self-employed, are writing things off. And so even though they might be doing well, they have a net income that's lower because of their expenses. And that net income is what's used. So in that type of a situation, there's what's called a bank statement loan. And a bank statement loan for self-employed is a really great option for people when you have a decent credit score, because what they do is they use your bank statements as your income. So they take your 12 months or 24 months, depending on the bank, and they will average it out as your monthly income using bank statements. And so that, again, is a great program. With that program, though, you're usually going to have to put down anywhere from 15 to 25%, depending on the lender that you're working with. But it's an incredible program. Again, you know, knowing the solutions and the workaround. And believe it or not, there's still stated income programs out there, as long as your credit score is high enough, where you just basically state what your income is and you use that income based on what you state that it is. Again, you're putting a higher percentage down, anywhere from 20 to 25%, but it gives you that opportunity, again, to get into the property. So there's always a solution. It's just a matter of what people feel comfortable with and what their interest rate what interest rate they feel comfortable with.
Yeah, well, now, is it different at all if this is their primary residence versus an investment property? I mean, does that change the loans at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Primary residence versus investment property, two totally different animals. And with your primary residence, you know, you're going to get a better interest rate. it's going to be FHA. You can do VA. You can't do FHA and VA for non-owner occupied. But a non-owner occupied property, you can still get great rates and great loans. It's just that you're going to put a higher percentage down. You're going to be putting down anywhere from 15 to 25%, depending on the situation.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it costs more than the loan. It's more to get into it if you're not there. And I guess the justification is you're not living there. So it's semi-extraneous, right? That might be a way to look at it.
Exactly. And, you know, for me, I didn't have a whole bunch of cash when I got started in this whole situation. And so I always was looking for the solution that was the least amount down. And so, you know, that's owner-occupied, basically, in FHA. But if you, you know, it's all about the credit score first, down payment, and then, you know, non-owner-occupied or owner-occupied. Those are the three determining factors of what you're going to have options for. But the thing I just can't stress enough is if you want a house, try. You know, don't be afraid. Just try. I meet so many people who are afraid to even call to get their credit pulled because – you know, people don't like being told no. People don't like being told what the problems are. And but you can't fix your problems unless you know what the problems are. And so you have to run towards that roar and you have to just make it happen. And that's the best advice I can give anybody is just you got to give it a shot if you want to.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that there's kind of a fear factor there, to be honest. I think that's something where because I'm in real estate too, just like you. And one of the things that I saw for so many years was, you know, foreclosures, and people being put out on the streets and just all sorts of these horrible news stories. And, you know, thank God that we've made it past that point, right? The economy is recovering. The housing market is picking up. Things are kind of back on track again. But I know for a fact that there are hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people out there who are still gun shy because of their last experience in the housing market, right? And, you know, especially folks who have had a foreclosure, you know, they might be looking at that saying, there's no way I could get a loan, or it'll be 10 years, 15 years at least, you know. So I think that's a big part of it. That's one of the reasons that these different options are so exciting to me is because I think as a society, you know, now that times are good again, I think that it's easy for us to generally forget all of the pain that kind of came before. But I think that in doing that, we're really doing a disservice to people who were responsible homeowners who just had a string of bad events happen. So,
yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, life happens. Death, divorce, health, sickness, you know, you lose your job. You know, there's a lot of things in life that happen that you can't control, and you just have to be able to overcome those. Now, I will tell you, even with a bankruptcy, if you file a bankruptcy, generally speaking, 2 years later, you can get another mortgage after 2 years. For most banks, it's a 2-year thing. You know, with foreclosure, it's usually a 3-year situation for most banks. But it's not gonna never allow you to buy a house again. It's just a matter of, again, you have to sit down with the person that you trust and want, you know, to help you, and so that you can go ahead and know what you have to do.
Yeah. Now, for people coming back into the market, I mean, would that change the kind of house they're looking at? Would they want to come in on the small side, or should they be looking at the types of houses that they've perhaps lived in the past?
Here's what I always tell everybody. What you got to determine is, what do you want your mortgage payment to be? You do everything backwards, and you always have a backup. And so if you want a payment that's $2,000 a month, you know, then you sit down with the banker and say, hey, I want a payment of just $2,000 a month with my taxes and my insurance and my mortgage. What can I buy based on my situation? And let the banker tell you what you can buy. Because if you do it that way, it's a lot easier versus looking at a $500,000 house and then having to pay $3,000 a month and it doesn't work with your budget. So the most important thing is to say what you want to afford. Because you know what? There's some people that can afford $10,000 a month, but they don't want to pay $10,000 a month. They want to pay $3,000 a month. And so you have to know what those parameters are and what is that price of the house that you can buy in order to make the payment that you want. Because let's say being house poor is very difficult, and you want to be able to do it backwards. So when I had the mortgage company, when I would sit down with people, I would immediately pull their credit. I'd say, what kind of payment do you want? And then I would tell them what to look for and tell them, you know, what price range they should be in so that we worked within the parameters of their payments. Because otherwise,
yeah,
you can afford a lot more, but you just don't feel comfortable with it. And you want to be able to live and have fun. And, like, I mean, it's just everybody talks about it. Being house poor, you don't want that. So it's best to know what is your monthly amount. I mean, there's people that pay $2,000 to $5,000 to $10,000 in rent. And my point is, if you're already spending that money, why not be able to get yourself a house so you can have the equity and the growth of that property?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, depending on the, you know, depending on where you're at in the country, depending on, you know, what city, what suburbs, all sorts of things like that. When I lived in the Seattle area, it was insane, and down in California, it's even worse. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. But, you know, rent can be astronomically high, and it's a lot better to put, you know, if it's $2,000 to $10,000 a month, yeah, put that into equity. Don't just give that away.
100%, because at least it's going to you versus going to somebody else, because all you're doing when you're paying rent is paying someone else's mortgage for them, and they're getting the equity. That's why people buy investment properties, so that they're paid down by other people. And so, you know, do it for yourself. Step up and make it happen for you, because you're already paying it anyways. If you're already paying it, make it happen for you. And the worst that's going to happen is you have a little bit of creative financing.
Well, Megan, we're almost out of time for today. So is there anything you want to close with before we wrap things up?
I would just say, put the fear to the side, And if you want to buy a house, find your favorite lender or your favorite banker and just say, I want to buy a house and I need to know what I need to do to get there. And if you do that, it'll be able to set you up for success and you will be able to get a house. Worst case situation. You do a couple of things and fix a couple of things, and then you're good to go. So just, you know, don't be afraid. Make it happen. And any questions I can ever ask, you know, you can email me at m@megazee.com. That's m@megazee.com. Or you can call me or text me at 424-332-2003. But my advice is just run towards the roar and get yourself a house.
Perfect.
Get off the couch and buy a house.
Yeah, and let me send people again to the website too, and that's meganzuccaro.com. It's just your name, and it's in the show notes. It's meganzuccaro.com. Well, Megan, thank you again for your time, and let's close things out for today.
Thank you so much. I love visiting with you every weekend, Tim.
Wonderful. Thanks again.
Okay.
Today's show has been a presentation by Megan Zuccaro Real Estate. For more information on our programs, visit us online at meganzuccaro.com. Remember to tune in for upcoming show episodes and follow us on Apple iTunes and Google Play Music to subscribe to our podcast. Until next time, thank you for listening to The Realities of Life in Real Estate with Megan Zuccaro.